bounced back. To jest bounce back. Ja wam pokażę za chwilę, na czym polega bouncing back, ok? Jak czasoprzestrzeń bounsuje.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is episode 548 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. Yeah.
I think you just wait for the opening to show your singing abilities.
You like that? It's the only opportunity I have to showcase my singing talents, Mike. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Ugh. First day back at work after vacation, so. Yeah.
You know, once you get there and get started, it's not that bad. It's that lead up, that build up, that, you know, I just had my whole vacation. It's over already and I got to go back. Then you go back and you get back in the swing. But I always hated the lead up, like Sunday nights. They're always horrible.
I was like,
you know,
yesterday for me, it was a rough one. Like, I did not want to go back. It was like an actual nice day to end the vacation weather-wise. So I said, come on now.
It was pretty much the nicest day since you've been off.
Oh, it was too, and it was unfair.
Derpy, how you doing, man?
Well, I woke up today. That's a start.
That's way to bring the mood down.
I think Derpy's a little bit more Derpy's a little bit more dark and twisted than we know. I know. You.
My God. I thought I could be morose.
Overall, I'm doing pretty good, fellas.
Good. Well, good morning, everybody. Yeah, welcome back. It is 5:48. Not time, but the number of our show. It is episode 548, guys. We got some things to talk about today. Of course, the big NFL schedule comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
It's only 114 days away from kickoff.
I can't wait.
We had some impressive feats last night in the Pirate game. A couple other things we're going to talk about today. But you guys doing all right?
Doing all right. I'm doing great.
All right. Let me start with the Pirates. We got a lot to talk about, and I got a lot of football. But you know what? I don't like to do football and then get into the Pirates. Let's do the Pirates. Get them out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we could have the duration. And we could talk football. Pirates back at it last night. They played the Brewers first of three games in Milwaukee. The bats come to life, guys. It's 23 runs in the last three games for this Pirates team. On Saturday night, they put up 10 runs. Sunday, they put up 5 runs. And then last night, they put up 8 runs. The Pirates seem to have figured it out temporarily, at least. They have shown the ability that they can hit the ball.
Can they do it consistently?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Alongside a nice outing by Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
A few other things go on we'll talk about. But the Pirates, guys, they did win 8-6 over Milwaukee last night, gathering 13 hits in total. Put the Pirates at 19-23. Drops the Brewers to 24-17. The current division looks like this, guys. Milwaukee's in first place. The Chicago Cubs are a half game out. The Pirates are all by themselves in third place with a 5.5 game deficit in the division. And the Reds have tied the Cardinals in the basement. They're both sitting at 7 games back. That's a good sign, I think, if you're the Pirates. But you know what? You come out last time against Milwaukee, you split the series. Would have been nice to get a series win against the Cubbies, but we're going to get that chance because after this game, we head off to Wrigley, and we get another shot at those guys. But right now, guys, we're smack dab in the middle of a division showdown with the Milwaukee Brewers. Quinn Priester will be on the hill today, coming in with an 0-3 record, 3.86 ERA and 12 strikeouts. He's going to be going against Joe Ross for the Brewers, who comes in with a 1-4 record with a 4.75 and 29 strikeouts on the season.
When Priester and Ross go head-to-head, just throw out the record books.
Well, you know what? I don't understand. They had to just ditch Priester, get him the hell out of the rotation.
I mean,
his all of his performance. What, he pitched 4 games so far. They've all been bad. He's given up 6 home runs in 4 games. He hasn't shown any sign of improvement. Maybe today let him go. But once you get Skeens ready to go and not only pitch a limited amount of innings, I think you're going to be fine. Then you could finally ditch Priester.
Yeah, but I just hate how they want to do that, what, six-man rotation.
I hate the six-man rotation.
To me, it's stupid.
And if you get Marco Gonzalez back, it turns into a seven-man, so they got to figure something out soon.
Yeah, just throw your best five out there, and if someone needs a day, then go to that guy. Or right. Pull someone from the bullpen, do your, that type of thing. You know, but I keep it five. Keep everyone rotating in and out on their fifth day. Keep, baseball players are creatures of habits, and none more so than pitchers. They're the most, outside of like kickers and hockey goalies, they're the most, superstitious. You keep them in their routine. Don't add an extra day to it, man. I think it's stupid. Their body's used to going every five. Let them go every five until something happens. You're out here after you had Jones, Keller, Skeens. No. Priester ruins the momentum.
He messes with the feng shui of what's going on.
Yeah.
You got your three top dogs. Perez is pitching really well. You're able to get wins out of him. Mm-hmm. Bailey Falter's been a surprise. And again, as I said, once Marco Gonzalez gets healthy, now you run into seven starting pitches. Something's got to give. I'm hoping maybe he's just kind of using Priester as a filler right now, and this is it. Like, today is, like, it. Because if it goes beyond this with Quentin Priester, I'm going to lose my mind. This guy's terrible. He doesn't fit in. And, again, as you said, it ruins the feng shui. We're finally getting things moving in the right direction, so to speak. But we're sitting at 19 and 23. Yeah. It could certainly be a lot worse. And, again, we're 5.5 games out in the division. We have two more against the Brewers. We have three coming up against the Cubs. I mean, we can make up ground. And the thing is, in this point of the season, in May, mid-May, you still have a lot of baseball left. Derpy, how much?
162.
That's right, baby. 162 games in a season. So, kill me for being optimistic. But you know what? It is what it is. I guess I'll die on this ship. I'll die on this pirate ship because,
Priester should be down in the minors. Just face it.
He didn't get any better. That was the thing. So far, don't get me wrong. Yeah. If he comes out today and pitches a gem, maybe I'll be singing a whole different song tomorrow. But he hasn't seemed to improve at all, and that's what's discouraging. He looks as bad as he did last year. And, again, you expected to see a little bit more from him. So
like we said yesterday, I think it looks like he looks like a deer in headlights. That frightened little turtle. Like, oh!
I do want to say good morning to Brian on the board. Let me go over some numbers here. A couple of things that Brian did write. The only player in this Pirates offense that did not reach base last night was Rowdy Tellez. Triolo didn't get a hit, but he reached on a walk. Everybody else got at least one hit. Andrew McCutchen and O'Neill Cruz both had two hits. Jack Sawinski and Grandel both had home runs. Hell, even Big Stacks Brian Reynolds goes 5 for 5.
Mm-hmm.
Scores a run, two RBIs, and a home run. Rowdy Tellez cannot find his way on base. In a game like this, where everybody's, come on. The guy has, Big Stacks has five hits. You can't get on a base once? You can't get on base on a walk?
No. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. That's Rowdy Tellez's philosophy on everything.
Well, he's never going to live that down.
Get on base? We don't do that here.
He's never going to live that
down. He's never going to live it down, and it's great, and I'm
you know one thing about Santana? Carlos, he didn't say nothing.
No. Santana came in, did his job. What was asked of him was smart.
Nobody wants you to come here. No one wants to hear your voice. Come here and play. Shut up. The thing is, if you're going to talk, do something. I mean, the guy went 0 for 5.
Yeah.
Didn't get on base. Anyway, do something, and then you could talk.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, like, you sit him down, or you start him and sit down Connor Joe, who's been your best player, most consistent, actually has been your best player from the beginning of the season till now. There's no
I'm going to be debating. Honest with you, Mike. They're going to beat that guy to death. He's the only one that's doing anything. You got to give the guy a day off.
He does, yeah. I think with Connor Joe, less is more. I think the more he plays, we'll see his average go down. But I get the sentiment of wanting to play him. Because he is hot right now. Get what you can out of him now. But for me, Connor Joe is that kind of guy that I think less is more. Him in a platoon is a great idea, but not with Tellez. So Connor Joe and someone else that's hitting Connor Joe type numbers would be a great platoon, but Rowdy freaking Tellez, get out of here.
I'll go over a couple more things and we'll take some callers. I see we got people waiting here. The performance by Mitch Keller, another quality start, guys. He goes six innings. He gives up eight hits, but he gives up no earned runs, gives up no walks, and managed to mark up seven Ks. However, his replacement, Fleming, comes in and one inning, gives up five hits, five earned runs, a walk, and one strikeout.
Yeah.
Luckily, the bats were out enough to help our starting pitching last night, because you know that the bullpen is not doing that.
No.
Except for Bednar comes out, gets the save, gets 1K in the ninth inning, and that be it. But this bullpen has to come up with something. They have to come up with something real fast, because it's going to be a shame having the nice rotation that we have, and it's going to get pissed away every night with this bullpen. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not letting up any pressure on the offense, but 23 runs in the last three games, that is 7.3 runs a game.
Yeah. Just like a run under where they were to start the season.
You know, you got to like that. And it's against Milwaukee, and it was against Chicago. Yep. So these are the teams you're going up against for the division. It's not against Colorado. It's not, I mean, you'd like to see it against those teams, but we are in a fortunate position right now. If we could, you know, make it work for us, we could gain a little ground.
Yeah, because you're seeing O'Neill Cruz in the last like 16 games or something like that. His numbers are looking damn good. Last night, Big Stacks had a, hopefully, like everyone's saying, oh, this is the breakout game. I hope so, because he's paid enough to where he shouldn't need a breakout game.
One more thing before we do catch up on the call, some calls here. Paul Skeens, get this, guys. Pitchers, starting pitchers this season with the fastest clocked pitches, okay? These are the top 10 fastest pitches by MLB starters this year. Paul Skeens, in four innings pitched this season, he has 1 through 9 wrapped up. The 10th spot is another gentleman. I can't recall what his name is off the top of my head, but Paul Skeens has the top 9 fastest pitches among starters this season.
I like it. I like it. Hopefully he can keep it up.
And that's in four innings. Four innings of work.
Not bad.
And I think, you wonder if is this a problem, because we have so many cannons now. I mean, the thing about when you get that one guy, it kind of messes up the timing of opposite teams' offenses. Now, I mean, you see guys hitting the hell out of Chapman. You see guys hitting, we just have so many flamethrowers right now. Is that a problem? Is it a problem to have too many guys that throw too fast?
No. Because they got movement. If you could throw fast and have movement, you're going to be tough to hit. But if you can just throw fast, dudes can key in on that stuff. But you see this, like the way his pitches tail off at the end. It's a thing of beauty. But did you watch his curveball too? He had that curveball working some nasty shit in his first major league game. And you can go from throwing 100 miles an hour down to like an 86 mile an hour curveball. Yeah, you're going to confuse a lot of people.
Did you see this pitcher the other night for the Cubs? His name was Dick Lovelady.
He's in the wrong profession.
Yeah.
He should be in adult entertainment Dick sports Lovelady. Entertainment.
I mean, of course he went by Richard Lovelady, but you know, you're
coming to the ring, Dick Lovelady.
Like the Val Venus.
Exactly.
Total
Vince McMahon.
Absolutely. So we got the Pirates. They get a big win last night. I mean, say what you will, it's 162, but a win is a win is a win is a win. And this win got them to 19-23. The Pirates won two of the last three games. Again, 23 runs in those three games. Quinn Priester on the hill today. A nice outing by Mitch Keller. Reynolds showed up. Cutch showed up. Crew showed up. Let's go ahead and talk some Pirates with Ralph. Ralph, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys? Mike, Ryan, Darby, how are you?
Doing pretty good, man.
Doing great.
What do you think of this this recent outburst of the Pittsburgh Pirates offense, Ralph?
Well, let me sum this up a little bit here, and I heard you guys talking about the Pirates. The Pirates are like the Steelers, you know. They win sloppy, but at least they win, okay? There's always creaks in the armor. And I agree with the fact that perhaps they need to either put Priester in the bullpen or move him to the minors. I hope they get rid of, if they do, I hope they get rid of that Nicklaus kid because he's terrible, that Kyle Nicklaus.
Yeah.
And I see he didn't pitch last night, which was great, you know, so. But anyway, you know, they're giving Josh Fleming some innings, which is good. Adarius Chapman, I don't know what's going on with him. And but Bettner was good last night for a change. And, you know, he needs to get his save thing up, needs to get his ERA down. And he needs to start pitching like he pitched last year when he was an all-star. Or else, like I said before, he put Skeens in the bullpen and let him do it. So, you know. But anyway, I liked the game last night. Reynolds finally came around with a five-hit game. And, you know, Tellez, I agree with Mike, is a bum. Before this, before we got Tellez, I reached out to some friends of mine up in Milwaukee. They said Tellez was a good player. I mean, he used to hit 30 home runs and all that until last year he got hurt. And then he was hurt some of the spring training. So, I mean, you know, here's a guy who could, you know, did it with Milwaukee. I don't know why he's not doing it here. I don't know if he's still injured or whatever, but he needs to stay off of social media and start doing, you know, something here.
Absolutely. I just don't get what that is. And these guys go to other locker rooms and they perform wonders. You get, you know, good players come here, they're in our locker room, and all of a sudden they shit the bed. I don't get it. And this has been going on for decades. It isn't anything that's just happened overnight or anything over the past couple of seasons where we can say, oh, this is a mystery. It's just this organization. I don't, there's no way to explain it to me. I've seen many of good player came here and left, and as they leave and go elsewhere, they end up in great situations. Why can these players never bring it together and put it together here in Pittsburgh?
Hey, I could name you. I could name you some pitchers: Tyler Glasnow, Bronson Arroyo, all those guys that all were down in the minors and did absolutely zero. And then all of a sudden, and then the Steelers or the Pirates bring them up, and then all of a sudden they stink. You know, they soil the bed, and then you know, and then they go somewhere else. Arroyo got a World Series ring with Cincinnati, I believe, or Houston, or one of them teams. And then you know, you got Garrett Cole, you got Jameson Taillon. Who I believe just had is just starting to come back now. But Taillon played with Tampa Bay when they were in the World Series. So, yeah. Or Glasnow did. So, I mean, you know, and then Austin Meadows, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a reasonably decent player, and they kept that bum, you know, that one bum, I forget his name. They kept him. He didn't do squat. And, you know, they ended up trading off Austin Meadows, and he ended up being an all-star. So, I mean, you know, it's amazing what this team does. And, you know, it's terrible that this happens this way with the Pirates. And it's just sad. It's the same old Pirates.
You know, of all those names that you just named, I got to say, the only one that I'm really disappointed that went on and did something was Bronson Arroyo, because this dude stunk. I mean, he stunk.
He was
terrible here.
Yeah. You know, cool. And all these other names, like, yeah, these young guys, it's like, okay, like, you know, these other guys, you say, okay, well, they, you know, we expected them to go on and have nice careers, but Bronson Arroyo, that's the one to me. That's the one that gets me.
Well, it's the organization from top to bottom of their philosophy for pitching. You know, they had these guys that, you know, like Garrett Cole should just be going after you. Like, no, pitch for the corners. Bronson Arroyo should be getting, you know, trying to get contact for ground balls. No, pitch away so no one swings at you. It's like they mess with the pitcher's head, mess with what's best for them. Then these guys go to actual organizations that can identify their strengths, and then they pitch to their strengths. And then, boom, look, they have success. It's literally a philosophical you know, just the philosophy of the organization when it comes to hitting and pitching. It's totally skewed for how it should be. They fuck these guys up until they go somewhere else to get fixed.
Yeah, no two ways about it.
It's just frustrating.
It's very frustrating. And the thing is, you know, we can't just, again, it's not just frustrating. We've been frustrated for decades. This must be how a Browns fan feels. I mean, it literally must be how a Cleveland Browns fan feels. Because, you know, 30 years, the team ain't no good. They reached the playoffs a couple times, made a very limited stay. You know, that's what the Cleveland Browns do, guys. Mm-hmm. We are no better off than the Browns. It's disturbing.
We're the Browns. We're the Browns of...
Ralph, are we the Browns?
You lost, Ralph.
Derpy, are we the Browns?
Yes, the Pirates may be that.
I mean, you're kind of outside. You're kind... You know what I mean? You're kind of on the outside.
At least you have a great stadium.
We got that going for us.
They do have that going.
They have the best. I would agree that they have the best ballpark in
baseball. Why do people say that? What is it about the PNC Park? Because here's the thing. This is my ballpark. I've been here a million times. I haven't been to many others. And I hear this all the time. What is it about PNC Park, guys, that everyone keeps saying that? Is it that view? Is that what
it's
it is?
It's just the view.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. When you're there, it's just like any other ballpark. You go, you stand in line forever. You get something to eat that's overpriced. You go sit down. Somebody's, you know, spitting, hawking, coughing, whatever. I mean, you know, it's a normal day at the beach. And I'm just trying to understand if that's what it is. It's just that. It's the view. Does nobody else have a view? Why are we the best? Why is PNC Park the best?
And to me, it is literally just the view. Yeah, I've been to the stadium up in Cleveland a bunch. I like it up there. I think it has a good view too. It has a good atmosphere, just like PNC Park. I've had the same amount of enjoyment at both stadiums. I just don't see. I don't know. The view is great. Products in the field, no, but like the amenities and everything aren't top notch.
Speaking of Cleveland, Mike, do you see LeBron showed up at the Cavs and
Celtics game? Oh, he's going home again.
That always keeps it interesting.
Show up to watch a game and probably, right, you know, support a teammate, old teammates and stuff. Everyone wants to conjure up everything when it comes to LeBron. Dude can't just go anywhere.
So the Pirates are back.
Donovan Mitchell.
What's that, Derpy?
He's recruiting Donovan Mitchell. That's what he's doing.
He needs recruiting. I mean, come on, this guy. Anyway, I can't talk. Listen, Pirates back at it tonight. Game two.
Right.
Against the Brewers. This game is at 7:40. I'm going to be interested to see how this one goes, especially putting up 23 runs in the last three games. I want to see if we can continue this. And also, we're playing against Joe Ross. So just maybe Quinn Priester could do enough. I say this now, and then tonight it'll be
Joe Ross is going to look like Cy Young.
It'll be 9-1, the Brewer. Yeah, you know? It happens every day.
Yeah, you got to be more optimistic, Ryan.
What's that?
You got to be more optimistic, Ryan.
Yeah. What's that got me so far?
It's still early. You're sitting in third place.
Optimism will get you killed. Optimism.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Oh my God! Did you just read the comment that Brian put up?
Caitlin Clark in WNBA starts tonight. I'm going to refer to as Teen Wolf from now on. I will be talking about Caitlin in just a moment, Brian. Teen Wolf. Guys, let me go over a couple things, and we're going to get into football. Okay. Hash and Play Saturday. I made a mistake. They played their first game at home at Pine Richland. However, this week they're playing on the south side. They play at George K. Couples Stadium.
Okay.
Downtown, that's at 800 East Carson Street. That game starts at 6 o'clock p.m. on Saturday against the New York Wolves. So get down there, support these guys. They're really good. They dominated their first two games.
Yes, they
had
did.
A bye week. Now they're back at it against the New York Wolves team who got destroyed last week. So maybe the ladies can start out at 3-0.
Hell yeah, just keep it rolling.
And keep building and get ready for that big Boston game. That one's always the big one.
We need someone to win in Pittsburgh.
Mike, also the Hounds, they're back in action on Saturday. They play North Carolina at 7 p.m.
Speaking of a team that needs to get off the schneid, yeah, they had a couple wins, a couple ties, knocked out of the Lamar Hunt or the Hunt Trophy.
And Brian, on the board, I got to say, you must have been reading my jersey. I got my Caitlin Clark shirt on today because today is the opener for the Indiana Fever. They do play at Connecticut against the Sun. This game is at 8 p.m. I just want to throw out a note that this team, they play 36 of their 40 games on national television this year. So there's not going to be any lack of Caitlin Clark or Teen Wolf or whatever you want to call her. But let me give you her stats from the last preseason game. She finished up. She flirts with the triple-double. She has 12 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block. And I keep hearing that she, you know, the only thing I'm hearing coming out of that, off that team is she has to make adjustments to the pros, which I understand. Everybody, yeah, you know, but I wouldn't mess with her too much, you know, because all the gals on your team who are great, who are starters, none of them scored the most points in the history of basketball in college. You see what I'm saying? Don't mess too much with the star is all I'm saying. You wouldn't take Michael Jordan and try to recreate the wheel.
I think hopefully it's just for like, you know, shot selection, trust your teammates more. She had Iowa, she had to do a lot. You know, they had some good players on Iowa.
Like, she led in points and assists. Yeah. How does that even happen?
Yeah, so here, like, she doesn't have to score as much as she did in college. She can use her teammates, use her passing ability, because you watch some of those highlights. She has really good vision, really good hands, and just trust in your ability that way. You don't have to be the one to do all the scoring. Hopefully that's what they're trying to get through to her head. You don't have to take these crazy deep threes. You know, we have people here that can, you know, you get them the ball, you know, they can score, you know, become more of a facilitator at times when it's appropriate. Don't try and force the shot. You don't need to be the whole offense like you were in college. Here, you know, you got a lot of good players around you.
You know that a lot of people were anticipating watching these games, and as they said, 36 of 40 of her games are going to be televised. My big, and I get it, it's going to happen, but my big one is I want to see the Chicago. I want to see Angel Reese and that team play against Caitlin. I think that's going to be big. I think that's going to do a lot for the game. I'm not sure when that will happen, but again, their season kicks off tonight. Yeah. It just seems like they finished, didn't it? Caitlin Clark and the
guys. Yeah, like the college season just ended not too long ago. Just remember though, two people like Sidney Crosby in hockey, when he was coming in, he was, you know, the next one. It took him a couple games to get rocking and rolling, adjust the league. He was getting points, but it took him a while to get his first goal and then rack up those multiple point games. And, you know, he was generational talent. So is she. So if she starts off slow, don't go and say, oh, we've been sold a bill of goods. You know, give it time. It takes some people a little bit to adjust it, but once they adjust, look out, it's lights out.
She had 21 points in her first game. She had 12 points in her second game. I'm gonna go around the horn, Mike. What do you think she's gonna finish with tonight in the season opener at Connecticut against the Connecticut Sun? The Sun is the name of the team.
Playing in Connecticut, where you know they hate her up there because she didn't go there. She went to Iowa. I'm going to say she might be feeling a little bit of nerves and might be, I'm going to say she's going to score about 18 points, but she's going to have about 10 assists.
Derpy, how many points do you think Caitlin Clark's going to score tonight? Is the nerves going to get to her? Or is she going to go in and do her thing? Are they going to change her too much? What's the, what's your prediction? How many points does Caitlin Clark score tonight in the opener? Mike says 18.
Why not? I'm going to give her 24.
You know what? That's the exact number that I picked. I was going to say 24. Now I got to change mine.
I stole your thunder.
I'll say 23.
She's going to miss a free throw now.
That's fair.
Nice one, Derpy.
Well, I really want 24. Will you take 23 so I can have 24?
You can both can have 24.
No, we can't both have 24. Oh, how can I brag if we both get it right?
I hope you both get it wrong.
I did find the date for the Sky and the Fever.
Yeah, when is that?
June 1st.
Oh, okay.
That's right around the corner. June 1st, guys. Is that at Chicago or is that in Indiana?
It's Indiana.
Ooh.
It's the Commissioner's Cup. It's like the new
in-season tournament
the NBA did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Go, Caitlin. I say 23 points. Mike says 18. And Derpy says 24. So
18 and 10. 18 and 10 for her.
All right. So, guys, that's Hounds. That's Clark. That's Passion. I guess everything that we wanted to catch up on is caught up on. Let's get over to the NFL where everything matters. Mike, the schedule releases tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. That's over on NFL Network. There's only 114 days till the season kicks off. Let me just jump ship 1 second because Brian on the board said leg sleeve plays tomorrow night, and everybody knows how I feel about that leg sleeve on Angel Reese.
Yes, we do.
So I'm gonna be catching that for sure. But anyway, gridiron guys, the Steelers. We got some leaks. There's a few leaks.
Yes. On
the schedules. I'm gonna go over the leaks that we have so far. We're also gonna go over a few other things, guys. Some interesting stuff to talk about today with the big schedule release coming tomorrow. Here are the leaks that we know right now. The very first game of the season, week one on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday. That's the Ravens versus the Chiefs, which I like these leak games so far because they all benefit us.
Yeah.
The second game of the season is going to be Friday, the following day, in Brazil between the Eagles and the Packers.
Will the Eagles be able to wear their green? The color's banned.
I don't think so.
So the Packers have green too. That color's banned at that stadium.
Way to schedule this one, right?
Brilliant, NFL. Brilliant.
Also, Monday Night Football for the first week of the season. Second straight season, the New York Jets back at it on Monday night, and they play the San Francisco 49ers.
Aaron Rodgers' other Achilles. Will it tear? Will it not?
On Sunday, the Cowboys versus the Browns in week one.
That should be a beauty.
And then the week two game that's been leaked at this moment. The only other game I have is the Bengals versus the Chiefs in week two. So
I mean, the Chiefs are getting their heavy part of the schedule right at the top.
They are getting their heavy part of the schedule. That's why we have to take advantage and beat them a little bit, because once they get on that roll and they ain't got nobody, you know, they have that stretch of games where you have, like, you know, the Colts, the Cardinals, so the AFC North. But on the other hand, if they don't win the teams from our division, that helps us out also, because they're in our division and they lost. So those games could go really either way. There's so much football left at that particular time in the season. I could go either way with it. But again, the very first game, the kickoff Thursday night, is Ravens versus the Chiefs. The Friday night game, which is game number two, Eagles versus the Packers in Brazil. The Monday night game to kick off the season is the Jets versus 49ers. A Sunday game in week one is the Cowboys versus the Browns. And the only week two game that I caught in the leak so far is the Bengals versus the Chiefs. Guys, keep your eye open, because they will be leaking out over the next day and a half here until the schedule comes out. You will be catching some here and there. I seen a couple of rumors about the Steelers. I don't want to go on them because I do believe there are rumors. But how far off can they be when you're talking division games? They were like the Browns-Steelers game. I'm sure that's going to be the last game of the season, but I don't know for sure, so don't quote me on that. So there you have it, Mike. The schedule comes out tomorrow. Let's go real quick over the quarterbacks that the Steelers are going to be facing. I'm going to go over the teams real quick. So we got Joe Burrow two times. We face Lamar Jackson two times. We face, supposedly, Deshaun Watson two times. Patrick Mahomes is on our schedule. Justin Herbert is on our schedule. Aaron Rodgers is on our schedule. Dak Prescott is on our schedule. Jalen Hurts is on our schedule. Kirk Cousins is on our schedule. Garner Minshew, Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and Bo Nix. Providing everybody can stay healthy. Yeah. I got to be honest, with the exception of the last four quarterbacks, that's a pretty tough gauntlet of quarterbacks.
You know, Anthony Richardson, he can beat you with his legs. If you know, we slip, let up, he can beat us that way. So that's a little bit worrisome. But, you know, we handle Lamar. On paper, we should be able to handle him. So, yeah, like you said, those last four are the only four you're not going, oh, shit, this is going to be a rough one right out the gate. So, yeah, you got what? MVPs, Super Bowl winners, guys who have been to Super Bowls we're going to face. Some of the best young quarterbacks in the league. My God, it's gonna be a rough one.
Mike, I'm looking at this, and even the Garner Minshew. I mean, you know, he's not
tough. Paid. You know, he beat us last year with the Colts.
Daniel Jones is one.
I give
that the nod. I think we're gonna win that. You know, Minshew and Bo Nix are the three that I think. But all the other ones, again, Cousins, Hurts, Prescott, Rodgers, Herbert, Mahomes, everybody from our division.
Guys that were, like I said, won MVPs or in MVP discussions. You know, Dak was up there last year in consideration. Kirk Cousins is everyone's favorite quarterback until the playoffs start. So some damn good QBs, man.
So with that being said, let's take a deeper dive into what it is that we're going to be facing.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm going to take a look at the strength of schedule for all 32 teams right now. I got the early report that we had the toughest schedule, but I'm looking by just a few points. We have the third toughest schedule behind two other teams in our division. So let me go over this, guys. The toughest team, the team with the toughest team in the whole entire league, Mike. Nobody has a tougher schedule than the Cleveland Browns, which I like.
Well, I do too.
You know, if that can help them take some L's, we'll take it. So the toughest schedule in the league is the Browns. Number two is the Baltimore Ravens. And the thing is, you know why we have the toughest schedule? Because we play the NFC East and the AFC West.
Yeah.
You're getting the Charge, or you're getting the Chiefs, you're getting the Eagles, you're getting the Cowboys, you know, and these are, you know, these are your more quality teams in the league. But number two on the list, guys, is the Baltimore Ravens. If they could take an L or two in that, we'll also take that. Number three in the league, guys, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They, according to this 2024 strength of schedule, have the third toughest schedule because their percentage of opponents, their opponent's winning percentage is 53.3. And that makes them the third toughest schedule in the league. Number four on the list, guys, another AFC team, the Houston Texans, which could ultimately help us out because you're going to want this team to lose a game or two during the season to maybe help out along the way. Number five, the Green Bay Packers, first NFC team. The Packers, Mike, the Packers, what kind of season do they have? They have the fifth toughest season in the schedule. Ooh. They really came out last year, turned some heads with Jordan Love. What's this Green Bay Packers team do when it's all said and done?
I think even with that strength of the schedule, if Jordan Love plays the way he did that latter half of last year, and that defense that they have, especially that secondary, I can see them winning the AFC, or excuse me, NFC North again, supplanting the Lions and having a damn good season.
Well, even a lot of people are putting Green Bay.
I would agree.
A lot of people are putting Green Bay, you know, at the top of their NFC list. I don't put Green Bay above San Francisco. I don't put Green Bay above the Detroit Lions. And even for, you know, coming with the game they had against the Eagles in the playoffs, I still don't put them above the Eagles. If they get hot at the right time, like some teams do, I think they totally have a shot in the playoffs. But to be honest with you, when you're looking at the toughness and the, you know, just the quality of teams, there's probably about three, four, and even five teams I put ahead of them in the NFC. But let's see what the kid can do.
Because like that first half of last year, my God, people were like, oh God, this guy, he sucks. Then he turned it on. And if he can keep it going the way he was, man, I think they're pretty good.
All right, next on the list is the New York Giants. The Giants are next on the list. I will put them at number six, toughest schedule. Number seven, the Buffalo Bills. Number eight, Jacksonville. I'm liking a lot of these teams in the AFC having tough schedules.
Yeah, me too.
You don't want one of the better teams to have one of these cupcake schedules because, you know, they keep coasting as you're trying to win games. And, next on the list.
Real quick, it just shows how tough the AFC is.
It's all about the parity, baby. Next on the list is the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders. Then the New England Patriots. I think they're going to have a tough season.
It's going to be a rough one up there.
The Detroit Lions, the Rams, the 49ers, the Cowboys, which they must have a cupcake schedule in the NFC because they're playing against the AFC North.
Yeah.
And they're not considered on the high part of the.
Yeah. Yeah. And all, you know, we all had winning records last year.
The Jets, the Bengals, the Commanders, Vikings, Chiefs in the middle of the pack, Broncos, Colts, Eagles, Titans, Cardinals, Seahawks, Dolphins. And Dolphins are going to take advantage of that. That's a team that they're going to be able to take advantage of the schedule.
Yep.
Watch the Dolphins have an exceptionally good year, and then half three quarters of the way through the year, we're going to say they haven't beat anybody with a winning record.
That's how it was last year. Everyone was hyping them up, and you look at their schedule. They didn't. Everyone that they beat had losing records.
Right. Tampa Bay also in that boat, Mike. They could win a shitload of games because of their schedule.
Well,
the LA Chargers is down there.
Yeah, but the Chargers still got to run through the Chiefs right there. That's two tough games, and the Raiders are going to be no joke, but if they can get their quarterback situation figured out.
I don't know what else the Raiders got really going on.
I don't know, man. They played well down the stretch last year.
If I tell you what, they got that guy Max Crosby. If you play behind his leadership, he's one of these guys that could get the guys fired up.
And they rallied around that coach last year. They got him, from interim to head coach. So if they keep that same intensity, man, they can be spoilers. I don't think they're going to have a deep playoff run or make the playoffs, but I can see them being spoilers.
Four teams with the worst schedules. Three of them come from the NFC South.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They got to play each other twice, and they all suck.
Carolina, 29th. The Bears, 30th. That should help them out.
Yeah.
31 is the Saints. And the team with the worst schedule in the league is the Atlanta Falcons, who we do, in fact, play.
Yeah.
So the Falcons have the worst schedule in the league, which should benefit them. I mean, come on. You're putting a little team together. You got some money invested in your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You have the worst schedule in a pretty bad division. That should go a long way for Atlanta. And probably make them create the illusion they're probably a little bit better than they are.
Yeah, because, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, regular season Jesus right there. He puts up great numbers, so it's going to be perfect for that team down there. He has weapons, man, like Drake London, Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Good weapons. It's that, again, defense down there. Defense. They needed help. That's why that first-round pick of Penix made no sense. Defense, they needed defense.
And this team, they'll win some games. Like I said, they have the worst schedule in the worst division.
Yeah.
You just got Kirk Cousins. You know, they're gonna create this illusion that they're a better team than they are. They're gonna get in the playoffs and probably lose in the first round with a, you know, like a 13-4 record or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's, I could see this happening with them.
Like 7-10 last year. All they got to do is flip two games, and I think they would have had the division locked up. Because the 9-8 last year wins you that division, and probably that same record this year will win you that division. They just got
lucky.
Us,
we got lucky. Us, we have half of that team now, so maybe we could finish 9-8.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Daniel Jones overpaid bum Ralph. That's
Oh.
Oh boy. Oh, that's why I'm glad. Like, you know, the Steelers got rid of Kenny, because if they would have doubled down, it would have been like that same situation. You know?
Where Daniel Jones come from? Did I ask you this before?
Duke.
Come on.
He was drafted over Dwayne Haskins.
Who picks a quarterback from Duke?
New York Football Giants.
Jeez. guys, let me go over. This is an interesting chart. What this is the 32 football teams in the NFL, and it's a power ranking based on different scenarios. For example, the top tier are your Super Bowl contenders. The second tier are your playoff contenders. Third tier are middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Fourth tier is fun and young, and the last tier is just straight bad. Do you guys want to start at the bottom or the top of this?
Let's start from the bottom and work our way up.
The three worst teams in the league, according to this, the very last tier, these teams are just bad. The Denver Broncos, the New York Giants, and the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three teams in that final tier.
There's nothing good about those teams.
No
right
argument.
Now.
Okay.
No.
Young and fun.
Okay.
This is the second tier. They're young. They're fun. They're probably not going to do nothing, but people are going to enjoy them for whatever reason. The teams on this list is the LA Chargers, the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Three pretty good receivers. The Arizona Cardinals. Got Marvin Harrison Jr. A couple things going on down there. And finally, excuse me, the last team is the New England Patriots in the young and fun tier.
Really?
I would actually drop the Patriots down to the bad tier.
I do too. There's nothing fun.
The Chargers, young and fun. I don't know how much they're going to, how young they are. They just lost all their receivers, but okay. I'm rolling. You know, you got, what's his name out there from Michigan, Harbaugh. So we'll see.
He wins everywhere he goes. That's the only thing that I can really say about him. In college, he won. In the pros, he won.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is these Harbaughs are just good football coaches. You got to be willing to accept that, and they are. And,
and Herbert's still young. So, yeah, okay. All right.
So we got middle of the pack teams. These ones are the middle of the pack.
Okay.
Probably no chance, but nonetheless, they're still, you know.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks is on this third tier, middle of the pack. The Minnesota Vikings, I'm sure they dropped a little bit.
Yeah. They still got good skill position players. Okay.
And that defense, too. They come with that defense. Yep. It's going to do what the Minnesota Vikings do. They're not going to be a Super Bowl team. They're going to play good defense.
They lost what? They lost Hunter, right? From that defense?
I'm not sure. Did they?
Yeah, I think
he went down south somewhere.
Yeah.
And number three on the middle of the pack team is the Raiders.
Yeah. If, you know, like Ralph says, you know, he thinks Antonio Pierce is going to lay the egg out there. To me, it all depends on the coaching out there and that quarterback situation. Not the greatest, but.
Jacksonville Jaguars is on the middle of the pack list.
Ooh.
And finally, one more team, the Saints. The Saints are in the middle of the pack list.
Yeah. I can see the Saints right there. The Jaguars, yeah, they haven't lived up to potential.
So that is 13 teams that fall in the first three tiers, which are just bad, young and fun, and middle of the pack. Now we're getting into playoff contenders. The Cowboys, the Browns, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Steelers from the AFC are your playoff contenders. Playoff contenders, not your best tier.
No, but contenders to make the playoffs. Okay.
And one other team from the AFC, I'm sorry, was the Colts. And then in the NFC, playoff contenders, the Buccaneers, Chicago now, and Atlanta. So your AFC teams, the Browns, Steelers, Dolphins, Jets, Colts, your NFC teams, the Cowboys, Buccaneers, Bears, Falcons.
The Jets, yeah, you're going to put them there just because of Aaron Rodgers. That defense isn't what it was 2 years ago. I think they've gone down there, but we'll see. We'll see. And the Steelers, yeah, we made it last year, so I have no problem with us being right here.
These are all teams that I could see being in the playoffs. I'm not convinced that Chicago knows how to put it together yet. Yeah, Until they prove it.
I would have them down in the young and fun category.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be young and fun?
That's a huge turnaround from where they were
Because you're putting this team in a position to really know what they're doing to make it, you know, to be a playoff team. They're young and fun.
Yeah, with a rookie quarterback, you know, coming from the, you know, Pac-10 to the NFL, that's a huge difference.
Now I have nine teams to top this off in the Super Bowl contenders aisle, guys. These are, according to this list, what people believe are the Super Bowl contenders. Of course, the Chiefs and the 49ers, top two teams.
Yeah.
Ravens, Detroit, two teams that lost the championship games. The Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills, I don't see it. I don't see it.
The Bills' window's gone.
Yeah, you lost a lot on that team. You lost a lot of players on that team.
Just and some may argue the Eagles as well, Mike.
Yeah, the Eagles.
They're still good, but they just lost something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I feel that they could get it back. I think they could get it back quick and be a good football team. But it just whatever it was they lost last year, they got to figure that out.
They have to figure something out there. You lose a leader on the offensive line. You hope you can fill that. They've lost a lot of players on that defense that was good last year. They took a huge step back in defense. We're going to see if these draft classes that have been graded high on paper are going to pan out on the field. So we'll see there. I think the Texans, it's a year early for them as a Super Bowl contender. I think next year is when they become a contender because they're building a nice team down there. Don't rush, you know, Stroud's development. Another year, I think they'll be a contender. Same thing with Green Bay. I think they can contend for the NFC North, but I don't think they're ready to take that jump. And Cincinnati, you lost Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins might hold out. You got your best defensive player wanting to be traded along with T. Higgins. It's a mess down there. Can Joe Burrow stay healthy? So I don't see up there. Everyone else, yeah, I see.
I could see Philadelphia and Buffalo both having their windows might have closed.
Yep.
I think that the Bengals, it's going to be so hit or miss. It just all depends on how the things play out, as you said, with injuries and everything else. I think my a year too early list would be Houston and Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now you're not playing Houston as Houston with a rookie quarterback. You're now playing Houston as a team with CJ Stroud at quarterback. So now you're a little bit more prepared. You have tape from last year where they didn't have Stroud playing the previous year in the NFL. I think that gives advantage to other teams. So the Texans and the Green Bay, they fall on my year too early list. In your top four teams, Mike, how can you really discredit any of these four teams? Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions. Which one of those teams, Mike, of those four becomes the biggest disappointment this season and doesn't quite live up to expectations?
I'm gonna go with
I know it's Kansas team City, San Fran, Baltimore, and Detroit. That's tough.
It is tough.
One of these teams, let's just say one of them does not live up to what they are expected, and maybe they'll take a first round bounce out of the playoffs. Which one of those four would be that team for you?
I'm going to go with the 49ers. So close for the second time in, like, what, 4 or 5 years. I think they're going to have – we're going to see what happened to Philly is going to happen to them this year. They're going to slide back.
They once went from a team that was the only 5-0 team to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they lost, what, 3 in a row now? Three in a row? They're going to be the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a step back because you got, you know, does he really want to play there? Does Debo still want to be there even though they're putting up good numbers? Is there friction between some of the players in the front office and John Lynch? So is that going to cause problems there? And is Brock Purdy just a two-year wonder now? You know, he was a one-year wonder. Is he a two-year wonder now? So I think them in Detroit would be my two, but I'm taking San Fran just because they went all the way and just saw it, you know, it fall from their hands. They could have won that game.
The team I don't think is going to live up to the expectation of last season is the Baltimore Ravens. This team has such a hard – listen, they're consistently solid – mm-hmm. But they have a hard time staying consistently good like the Steelers do. And they're very similar in teams, very similar in rosters, very similar in the makeup of the team. I think the Ravens are the team that doesn't add up. If they win the division, it's going to be a lot closer than – listen, the AFC North is tough.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC North is real tough, guys. My pick is Baltimore. Darby, of those four teams, Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, and Detroit, which one of these four don't live up to the expectations?
Detroit, the Detroit Lions.
Interesting. And you know what? I can see that too. Yeah. Look what Detroit did 2 years ago after having a good season 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, they've been adding a lot and doing a lot of work on that team, which makes it makes you think it's going to be more difficult for them to have a bad season because of everything they put into this point. But – again, organization-wise, sometimes things just happen this way.
Yeah.
Pirates, look at them.
Exactly. Or picking back on what you're saying about, you know, Baltimore is kind of like Pittsburgh. They, you know, they will have those solid years. Doesn't, like, this core of Lamar Jackson era Ravens remind you of the Ben Bell AB era of Steelers? So how does that good. Feel? But they get so far, and it just – something just happens, and – whether it be coaching, whether it be player performance, they just can't get over the hump. This is what that Lamar Jackson team's reminded me of. That Ben Bell AB with that really good defense, Marquise Pouncey, DeCastro offensive line. It's like they're getting so far, but they just can't close it out. You know, the Patriots ran into like some spunky teams, and that's how it feels like Baltimore's doing, you know.
They're very, like I said, it's every time I look at them and I make a prediction, I think, okay, well, how would the Steelers go through this?
Yeah.
Because they're so similar again, you know, but that's going to be my team to say will not live up to, but I understand and see everybody else's points. And I don't think that they're bad picks either.
Yeah.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
The2dumbyinters.com. Excuse me. Over there, we got all of our social media links. We got our blog. We got our merchandise store. Everything you need, Two Dumb Yinzers, is over there at the2dumbyinzers.com.
Go check it out, everybody. www.the2dumbyinzers.com. A lot of great things over there. Mike puts a lot of work into it, so do go check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day. And this is going to be a question, Pittsburgh Pirate question, that's going to be somewhat related to what Brian Reynolds was able to accomplish last night, going 5 for 5. You guys ready? This is actually a really tough one, so I'm just giving you a warning. Derp, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Got your thinking hat on?
Yes, sir.
All right. Of course, everybody knows Brian Reynolds goes 5 for 5 last night. The question of the day is, on September 16th, 1975, which pirate went 7 for 7? A pirate went 7 for 7 on the good World Series teams of the 70s. But again, it's a difficult one. If you're thinking, you know, the obvious names, I just, my hint to you is think a little deeper. We are live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week right here, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The brand new show that we do live every day. We take and we upload over on Spotify and podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. If you don't get a chance to listen to the show, maybe you'd just rather, or you don't get a chance to see the show, maybe you just rather listen to the show. You're at work, you're in the gym, you're in the car, taking a walk, put your earbuds in, and you can always listen to the newest episode of the Two Dumb Yinzers up on Spotify at 8 p.m. Go check it out. All right, guys, again, this is a difficult one. But the question of the day is, this is coming off of Brian Reynolds' five-game hit, 5 for 5. Pretty impressive. On September 16th, 1975, which Pirate went 7 for 7? Now, Ralph on the board is saying Phil Garner. And my hint to you is, yes, it was the World Series team from the 70s, but you're going to have to think a little bit more because it's probably not anybody that you think it is. It's obvious. So, Ralph on the board, Phil Garner. Mike, I'm going to come to you next. Any guesses?
Well, I was going to say Dave Parker. Dave, you're like, Parker. Oh, you got to dig deeper. But fuck it, I'm going Dave. I'm going the Cobra. Anytime I can mention the Cobra.
Yeah.
Because he should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
I'm going with the Cobra.
All right. Mike, final answer?
Final answer.
All right. Phil Garner on the board. Ralph, Dave Parker, the Cobra for Mike. Derby, I'm going to come to you last here. 9-16-75. September 16, 1975. Which Pirate went 7 for 7? Mike says Dave Parker. Ralph says Phil Garner. You got any guesses?
I do not, honestly.
All right.
I'm just going to go ahead and copy Mike.
Dave, yeah, I'm going to say I didn't really expect too many people to get this. This is a tough one. But I did go with this one. I did go with this one because, of course, who goes 7 for 7? And it was after Reynolds went 5 for 5. So Ralph changed his answer. He says Mike Easler, and both Mike Derpy both said Dave Parker. Guys, the question of the day is this: on September 16th, 1975, which Pirate went 7 for 7, which is an amazing feat. Come on. You don't even get 7 bats in a game. This dude has 7 hits in all 7 of those at bats. The answer, guys, Rennie Stennett.
Wow.
You may have heard the name, I certainly wouldn't have put that with that answer.
Damn.
Rennie Stennett was the one who did it. 1975 went 7 for 7. Man, that Pirate team must have been really exciting with dude tripping on ass and throwing no hitters. Rennie Stennett going 7 for 7 and
Parker. Pops going for
getting 400 home runs in his career. Man, what a time to be alive if you were a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
And then you had the Super Stellars.
Yeah, man.
All we had was the Penguins and Steelers winning Super Bowls and Stanley Cups in the same year.
At least we just got to get one Pirate World Series in our life. Oh, yeah. Jeez, I'm not a young person anymore. It's getting kind of running out of time. Brian on the board says, I don't even know who Stennett is. Ralph says, I had that on my brain. But I don't know if I really expected many people to get it. It was tough, but 7 for 7, I had to do it. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off for the day?
God, I'm trolling through Twitter, trying to find anything fun and exciting to bring up, and I got nothing. Other than, if you work job where you walk a lot and you take a vacation and you just decide to I'm just going to chill and hang out and relax, take some ibuprofen or some Advil before your shift.
Okay? Yeah. Dr. Mike.
Dr. Derby. Mike, yeah, because my ankles are exploded right now.
Derby, what you got, man?
Ryan, trim your beard, and Mike, stay shiny.
Wait, Mike, what was your advice again?
If you work a job where you walk a lot and you're on vacation and you don't walk
before you go
back, take Advil. Ibuprofen, something.
And Derpy wants us to manscape. My thing is this. Caitlin Clark tonight, guys, the opener of that game is tonight, 8 o'clock. She plays Connecticut Sun in Connecticut. Also, the Pirates back at it tonight in Game 2 of 3 against the Milwaukee Brewers. Quinn Priester will be on the hill against Joe Ross. That game is a 7:40 start in Milwaukee. And I think that's everything for today, fellas. Anything else, Mike?
That's all I got. That's Derby. All I got. Have fun, everyone.
I got nothing.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We want to give special thanks to the guys on the board, always keeping help keep things interesting. Everybody, we appreciate for checking us out, coming and hang out with us. We appreciate each and every one of you. We certainly couldn't and wouldn't do it without you. I think that's it for me, guys.
That's all I got.
All right, for Mike in the Steelers Central Studio for the Two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great Tuesday. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.